Welcome to Golau, where we shed some light on politics, policy and polling in Wales and the world.
The week after the 2019 European elections, an event was held in Cardiff featuring party representatives and academics to discuss the results of the European elections here in Wales. We recorded interviews with a number of the panellists, and we'll start, as we always like to at Golau, with an academic.
My name is Jack Lana. I am a research associate at the Wales Governance Centre at Cardiff University. The headlines in terms of parties, obviously Brexit Party, historic result, new party topping the poll in Wales, Labour Party, historic weakness, Tory Party, you know, the worst result they've ever had in Wales, Plaid beating Labour for the first time. But I suppose the kind of overarching theme is a continuation of the what your political scientists like to call the volatility in the electorate at the moment. So what do we mean by that? The kind of bonds between individuals and the parties they vote for is weaker than at any other point we've actually been able to measure with the survey data. So this means people are switching parties more than they ever have before. And I think at this European election, we really saw that. We saw massive swathes of voters switching from, for example, the Conservative Party to the Brexit Party, and in Wales, at least, from Welsh Labour to Plaid Cymru. How we study this stuff, we use election surveys, right, which are essentially very large opinion polls. But we've only really been doing those since the mid-60s. And since the mid-60s, even though there's kind of been a gradual decline in the number of people who, you know, will repeatedly vote for the same party, essentially since 2010, this has accelerated beyond anything previously measured before. And the 2016 EU referendum, at least in England and Wales, the EU referendum really broke those bonds. And again, another term that we like to use in political science is this idea of cleavages. And what we mean by this is kind of like the dominant division in society. So for a long time in the UK, we talked about class being the dominant kind of division. Working class people tended to vote for Labour. More middle class people tended to vote Conservative. And things continued like that for a long time. What we think happened in 2016 is that a new cleavage arose, and this idea of, Remain and Leave, but they're also tied in with other things like, for example, authoritarian kind of views and also what we might call more cosmopolitan views. It's been a kind of reshaping of the divisions in society. So we don't really know how long this is going to go on for. So it's entirely possible, therefore, that we end up, that sort of the political system is redrawn around an entirely new cleavage that we haven't actually seen before.
The first of the politicians that we spoke to was Caroline Jones of the Brexit Party, which came first by a large margin here in Wales.
The Brexit Party was campaigning in this instance on democracy. I think it's obvious to anyone that we are not going to reach a deal with the Conservative Party. They are no closer, and even under a new leadership, the MPs in Parliament are mainly Remain in the House of Commons and the Lords, and therefore you're not going to get a deal through. And what really, really annoys me as a person and as a politician is that the politicians are putting their own views over the referendum and over the people who voted to leave. And there's this sort of hatred between the Labour Party and the Conservatives, and it's reciprocated. And I find it's going to be very, very difficult to get them to work together. But I think that they should look at this with great caution, because people are getting fed up. I think a lot of people voted for the Brexit Party because they're looking for something else. They're looking for something that comes in between the Labour Party and the Conservative Party. So there's room for a new party, and I think the Brexit Party is, if it carries on in the way that it's going, is going to take an awful lot of votes in other elections as well.
During the panel discussion, Caroline mentioned mentioned that she wanted to forge a new centre-right political grouping in the Senedd. So I took the opportunity to ask her a little bit more about what the new Brexit Party group in the Senedd plans to do, and whether the representatives of the Brexit Party are as Devo-sceptic as those in the UKIP group.
When we were UKIP and under the leadership of Nigel Farage, Nigel put out that we were in favour of devolution. Obviously, under Gareth Bennett's leadership in the Assembly, that changed to, you know, becoming an anti-devolution party. And that was a difficult sort of pill to swallow, really. So the Brexit Party recognises devolution and will obviously work towards making the best for people in Wales, in Scotland, in those devolved areas. Well, obviously there'll be a lot of input from the Welsh AMs, because, as I said, Wales is a unique country, so we need to have that uniqueness preserved when looking at policies. I'm from Wales, I've never moved out to Wales, so I'm very pro-devolution and pro my country. So I want the best policies, the best deals that we can have all over for the people of Wales, because they elected me, I represent them fully.
One of the stories of the European election was the relative success of some of the smaller parties.
Hello, Kerry Davis, Wales Green Party. It was good, because the outcome was that the vote numbers clearly showed that Remain were a preference if we look at it on a bit simple referendum aspect. In terms of the cooperation and how they could have viewed it more as a second referendum and worked together, perhaps not so much. But I think we've got to look at it as a positive, that if people look at it as a view of the people who go out to vote last Thursday on Remain or Leave, Remain clearly had the upper hand. But I think it now shows that Wales is a Remain supporting nation based on the most recent election we've got. What does it say about Wales? I think it says that Wales is a country which isn't prospering as much of the UK or Europe has in recent times, and that people have got really looking for alternatives to bring that prosperity back to often post-industrial areas. Well, I think agreeing that prosperity and there are issues in Wales, I think the statistics show that we're about 30% of children are in poverty in Wales. Economically, we're not where we'd wish to be. And I would say that's actually where we are now. Now, the causal effect of that, I think the narrative has been driven by the Brexit supporting parties, be it UKIP in the past, Brexit now, putting the blame fairly on Europe. Now, if we look at that, I would say the blame of why we haven't had that prosperity and development is far more to be put on the doorstep of Westminster and policies in Cardiff Bay. So the issues that we face lay at the door of the institutions in our own countries.
During the European election campaign, one of the recurrent themes was talk of formal collaboration and campaigning among some of the parties campaigning on a Remain platform, not least Plaid Cymru and the Greens, which was echoed on the panel. So I asked Kerry about whether that was a realistic prospect going forward.
Across Wales, I think we had a poll 6.3%, but in certain areas where we put more of an effort, so for myself, very much concentrated on Cardiff, Cardiff Central, Cardiff vote was up to 8.4%. I think the Vale is something similar. And that gives great hope for the future. And if we look at polls for the Assembly, if we read those across to a list, there's certainly hope to get list candidates through the Green Party and therefore push our agenda within the Assembly. On a personal basis, and the Green Party allows people to have that personal view, I would like to see more of a consensual working arrangement, particularly in Wales, where there are clear synergies between Plaid and the Green Party.
Plaid Cymru had one of the better nights for parties here in Wales, increasing its vote share and securing another term for Jill Evans as one of Wales's four MEPs. But how good exactly was the result for Plaid Cymru?
Hi, I'm Luke Fletcher. I'm the Plaid Cymru candidate for Ogmore in 2021. I think, as has been said tonight in terms of the panel, we have beaten Labour for the first time in our 94-year history, and I don't think that's something to forget about there. Definitely a success for us. If we were to look at the broader picture, then okay, there's some questions to be raised. I don't deny that, but I think, you know, I think it's true to say that changing people's voting habits is quite a huge step. I mean, it almost becomes like muscle memory. And I speak from experience here with my own parents and family, who've always voted Labour, but this time it turned out for Plaid. And I think that's where our success starts, and as in getting people to start thinking about, okay, well, you know, we'll give Plaid a chance this time, and then suddenly then it becomes easier and easier and easier to come back to us. So I think in that sense, it's quite a success.
Soon after the election results, Adam Price formally wrote to the heads of the other Remain parties in Wales and the UK to explore ways of formalising a Remain coalition. What exactly are the chances of that happening here in Wales?
Well, I think there's huge scope, really. I mean, if we look up at Scotland, the Greens and the SNP are very close. You look at Ceredigion with Conor Davies, he was the first Plaid Cymru and Green candidate. You know, it's happened in the past, and there's nothing stopping us from doing it in the future. We agree with each other on a lot of things in the Greens, between us and the Greens, sorry. And I think if the bromance tonight is anything to go by, then I think the future between Plaid and Green is bright indeed.
It wasn't an easy night for the Conservatives here in Wales, or anywhere else in the UK for that matter.
So I'm Faye Jones, Welsh Conservative Party candidate for the European elections. I think it's very clear that the Brexit Party topped the poll because there is deep frustration out there because of where we are with Brexit. And I share that frustration. I didn't want these European elections to happen, but I felt it was important to stand to articulate a clear voice for what the Prime Minister has been doing. And I think a lot of people maybe see that it doesn't look like enough, but I think this deal is certainly better than leaving without a deal. And so that's why I was backing the Prime Minister and her deal, and that's why I put my name forward to stand. But the frustration that our core vote was feeling is pretty obvious. Personally, for me, Brexit is a process, it's not an event. And I think if we could have agreed a deal and left, that would have been the beginning of a good relationship. You know, we are at the very beginning of our negotiations with the EU. It's not as if this is the last time we'll ever talk to them. So I think, you know, if we could have agreed a deal, that would have been my preferred option. You know, we are in the middle of a leadership contest now. Whether it transpires that we are under new management in September, October time, and you know that forces a change in the agreed deal with the European Union, we will have to see. But you know, my clear preference is that we agree a deal, that Parliament on all sides comes together and agrees a deal, that we avoid leaving without a deal. I think it is more important to leave under a good arrangement, under a good deal. I can imagine that there will be an awful lot of frustration still, but I think sometimes we don't give the electorate enough credit, and I think if we had made genuine progress, if we had gone back to the EU and, you know, we had agreed new terms and we just needed more time to deliver that, I think an extension would be palatable. You know, I really do feel that the concept of no deal is just too difficult to bear for small and medium-sized businesses up and down Wales. A no deal exit would just be absolutely dreadful. And so, you know, I do think that we need to take the time to get this deal right. I don't believe that we should leave on the 31st of October without a deal. I think, you know, all of us need to understand that the results last week were a plague on all your houses. It's not just the Conservative Party's problem to deliver Brexit. The Labour Party, all sides of Parliament need to come together and deliver a deal. And I'm talking to my own party as much as I am the Labour Party there. I think it's for all sides to recognise that Brexit was expressed as the will of the people on a very narrow majority, and as such, everyone needs to come to the table without their red lines.
One of the questions that's never seems to go away for the Conservatives is the level of autonomy that the party in Wales has. compared to the Conservatives in Scotland.
It's a difficult issue for us as a party, and we haven't thrashed it out yet, and I think we should. There's time, and it's an important conversation to be had. Where things are maybe different in terms of brand, marketing and voice, yes, I think there is definitely a case to be had. There's a debate that needs to be had at the moment. We need to take seriously the question over whether we are the Conservative Party or the Welsh Conservative Party. Personally, for me, I am a Welsh Conservative, and I think that means a Wales first brand of unionism, which, you know, it happens to not just be the right thing to do, but also electorally successful. So I think it's, you know, we have to look at our colleagues in Scotland, and okay, the Scottish Parliament is a slightly different setup, but we are catching up now. The Senedd is catching up, and I think it's the debate about devolution has been had. We have celebrated 20 years of devolution, and I think if the Welsh Conservative Party would put its shoulder into devolution and take this Wales first unionism approach, I think that would make us stronger as a party and provide Wales with a stronger opposition, which they badly, badly need. Thank you. Diolch.
Both Wales and England appeared to vote in very similar ways. So I asked Jack, is this something that we are likely to see more of in the future?
So this is actually a fairly recent trend. So up until around 20 years ago, Scotland and England were kind of the two polities, if you want to call them, or electorates, which actually moved in lockstep. When the Conservatives did really well in England, they also did very well in Scotland. In the last 20 years, that's really changed, since devolution, actually. What we've seen in Scotland is that, in particular, in 2014, the independence referendum sorted voters, you know, into different parties. And in fact, their support for different parties is still more consistent with the independence referendum than it is with the EU referendum. So it's really been different there. In Wales, this idea of it actually being more kind of moving in step with England, that's a really relatively new thing. Why that's happened? Well, I mean, that's kind of a $1 million question. A lot of us are trying to explain in Wales, but you know, there's a few factors. One of the things would be, I think anyway, there's a much weaker institutional history in Wales. You know, separate Welsh institutions. If you look to Scotland, they've had their own education system for a very long time. They've had their own, health system, legal system. You know, these things have been going on for a lot longer than in Wales, and they're far more established. Scotland has a much stronger domestic media. Even, you know, UK newspapers, you have Scottish daily editions, which have, you know, Scottish-specific editorial content. We don't have that in Wales. So most people are consuming, well, what is, I suppose, would normally be classified as UK-wide news in Wales, but essentially what that means is mostly English-dominated news. So that might explain some of the kind of, you know, similarities between the two.
The panel at the event discussed what was a mixed night for the Labour Party.
It's not only Wales, which is, you know, Wales has really been, it's actually historic, kind of the birthplace almost of the Labour Party. And Keir Hardie, you know, elected in Merthyr Tydfil, for example, but also other places, lost most of North of England. London, which you'd think is almost, you know, in Islington, you know, Jeremy Corbyn's own place, they came second. And in Scotland, no MEPs in Scotland. You know, they have a real problem, not just in Wales, but, you know, everywhere. I think in the last few days we've seen perhaps, you know, a reintroduction of this idea of clear red water. Mark Drakeford saying that, you know, he now fully supports a second second referendum and will campaign to remain as well. Yeah, that's a different line to the leadership of the UK Labour Party. Perhaps all I'd say is that it's actually maybe surprising that that didn't happen earlier. You know, after all, Mark Drakeford was the one who wrote the Clear Red Water speech. You know, of course, in the actual speech that was given, Clear Red Water was never said. But, you know, he's the one who came up with this idea. So it's perhaps, you know, slightly puzzling that it hasn't actually happened earlier in Wales. I think there might have been some I think, heavily influenced by the 2017 general election, where Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party did very well across the UK. There might have been some reluctance to deviate from that model, but I really don't know what the Labour Party are going to do. You know, they've never faced a position like this, essentially, as long as they've existed as the Labour Party in Wales. So it's a real, a real challenge for them.
Thanks for listening to Golai, a Cardiff University podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please like and subscribe on your podcast player of choice. Or you can catch up with all of our episodes going back to the dawn of Brexit on our SoundCloud channel.